If retirement or Social Security is in your plans this year, listen up. Congress made a rather significant change in benefits and how you can file for them. Joining me with details, Tammy Flanagan, financial planner and senior benefits director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. Tammy, good to have you on again.
Thank you, Thomas. Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Let's talk about Social Security. There's some big changes coming for 2016 that feds and retirees need to know about. What has changed?
That's right. Yeah, there was a budget act in late last year that kind of snuck in some changes that took me and probably a lot of other people by surprise that were mainly going to affect couples who are applying for Social Security benefits. Some of the strategies that people use when they file for Social Security are not going to change, but some will. So I thought today maybe we could talk about the things that are going to stay the same as well as what is changing this year.
Okay, let's start with what's changing, because Social Security
is... changes are going to affect couples who want to use the well-known strategies. One is called file and suspend, and the other one is called filing a restricted application. So let me start by just telling you what those strategies were and are, because there are a few people who can still use them. To file a restricted application simply means that when I'm at my full retirement age, which for most people right now is age 66. If you're a little younger, it's going to move up to 67. But when I'm at that full retirement age, I can choose to file either on my own Social Security record or I can file a claim on my spouse's record. And when I file a restricted application, I'm saying I'm restricting my application to my spouse's work record, and that's so that I could leave my own benefit grow until I'm 70, which could result in an increase of over 24 to 32%. Now, on the other hand, the filing a file and suspend strategy is where I'm going to file for Social Security benefits, but I don't want to receive them yet. The only reason why I'm going to file is so that my spouse can file on my work record. So this is related to the other strategy I just mentioned. So on filing and suspending is I'm going to file. I'm going to delay my application so that my spouse can file on my work record, so I'm suspending my benefit. Now, those are the two strategies that are going away. So the first one, the first group are the people who are going to turn 66 on or before May 16th or May 1st of 2016. If you're going to turn 66 before May 1st of this year, you can still file and suspend. You can still do that so that your spouse can file on your work record. And also, people who turn 62 before 2016, so if you're already 62, you can still file a restricted application when you reach your full retirement age, even if it's 4 years from now. So there are some people who will still be able to take advantage. They're kind of being grandfathered in to this new provision. But if you're only in your 50s right now, or if you haven't turned 62 by 2016 or the full benefit age for the other group by May 1st, then forget everything I just said, because those strategies will not be available to you.
And why did Social Security do, or why did, I guess, Congress do this for Social Security?
Yeah, well, I think that the rationale was that they felt that only wealthy people were taking advantage of these who could afford to delay their Social Security entitlement to age 70. So, they were trying to, sort of game the system. But I think there's a different way to look at that, because I think some people who maybe just couldn't afford to fully retire at 66, maybe they didn't save enough, maybe they didn't have a pension, are using these strategies to just make their retirement more comfortable so they can afford, to pay for their health care expenses and their other living expenses. So I don't know that I fully agree with the reason why they took these strategies away. But I do know there is a group of people who use them because they are trying to take full advantage. But I think the other part of this is that you still have a risk, because when you use these strategies, you're betting that you're going to live long enough to make it worth doing it. In other words, if you delay your Social Security to age 70 and then you die at 69, you may not have gotten any of your benefit. So you are betting against the clock, so to speak, that you're going to live long enough, and usually that means you're going to live well past age 81 to make this worth doing in the first place.
Yeah, too bad you can't time your life just to the moment your money runs out, but I guess we don't have that benefit on this earth anyhow.
That's right. If we only knew the end date, we could know exactly when to claim our Social Security benefit, but luckily we don't know that.
And can't back time it that well. We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director for the National Institute of Transition Planning and a financial planning expert in her own right. And so what is the alternative now for obtaining Social Security?
Yeah, well, we still have the same 8-year window. We still have from age 62 to 70 to decide when to claim our own Social Security benefit. And when we reach that full retirement age, we still can claim half of our spouse's benefit as well. And so if your spouse's benefit is going to be higher than the one you've earned for yourself, well, then you'll still get the spousal amount. And also, if you're a widow, if your spouse has passed away, you can claim a widow's benefit and still delay your own. So that strategy has not went away, and that's not going away. So you still have to look at, the three basic questions. Number one is, are you still working? If you're still working, you probably don't need to claim Social Security benefit, and also there's an earnings limit if you're under that full retirement age. The second question is, do you need the money? So if you're not working and you're going to delay Social Security, well, what else are you going to use to make up for that income that you're not going to receive? And then the third question is, how long do you think you're going to live? And for that, of course, we don't know the answer, but we can look at our family history, we can look at our current health, and kind of make a guess to see if we think it's worth betting against the clock.
And then don't get hit by one of those new trolleys they're trying to run in D.C. And
that's so, right. Or just look both ways, right?
When you reach 70, that's when Social Security maxes out, and so there's no point in waiting to file even beyond that, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, there are some people who just have not filed even at age 70. And keep in mind that if you wait till you're 75, they're not going to go back to age 70 and pay you everything that you could have been receiving. So I don't really see any reason for anyone to delay filing past age 70. You've paid into Social Security all of your working career, that FICA tax. So it's a benefit that you've earned.
So in other words, what you cannot do any longer is kind of get half of it, not yours, but your spouse's, or vice versa, that's
right.
Over. In other words, basically what they're doing is going back to each person files for themselves at the point of their choosing, and that's it.
That's right. Yeah, it's no longer where you can kind of turn one benefit on and delay the other one till a later date. You're going to turn on all of your benefits, and you're going to receive the highest of what you're entitled to.
So what are the circumstances under which you can get the 50% of the spousal benefit?
That would be in a situation that, let me give you an example. Let's say that I'm the spouse who didn't work that much outside the home because I chose to stay home with my kids. So I may qualify for Social Security, but maybe it's only going to be, let's say, $500 a month. So at age 66, I decide to claim benefits, but let's say my husband has a benefit of $2,000 a month. So instead of getting my own $500, Social Security would pay me 50% of his, which would be $1,000. So I would actually get a benefit based on his work record, even though I had earned my own. Now, keep in mind that if my husband hadn't filed for Social Security, I would only be able to collect my own benefit until he files. So that would be still a way that I would collect that smaller benefit until my husband claimed his.
So that's
part of this strategy.
So you can't get the half the spousal until that spouse actually files.
That's right. That's still in existence. The rule.
If you outlive the spouse, do you continue to get that benefit?
Now, if my spouse predeceases me, if he dies first, and let's say he had that $2,000 benefit, as his widow, I would be able to take over the full $2,000 that he had earned for himself for the rest of my life. So that's a real benefit for a widow to be able to, support herself or himself, depending on who is the higher wage earner during their career. So that still exists. That's not changing.
And you don't get both, though, at that point. You get the higher of the two.
That's right. And that's where some people feel a little bit shortchanged because they say, well, wait a minute, I earned that $500 for myself, so I should get that plus the widow's benefit. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It's more of an insurance plan rather than, thinking of it as an earned benefit.
Wow, some complicated things to change if you had your heart set on the other way for going into 2016.
It is, yeah. So a lot of people may need some help with that. So Social Security, of course, has a website, and the website will be updated to reflect these changes as well as the current rules. So I would suggest going to socialsecurity.gov or ssa.gov And also, as I mentioned to you before, I wrote a paper on this that's going to come out a little bit later on this month. So that maybe will help as well.
Financial planner Tammy Flanagan, a senior benefits director at the National Institute of Transition Planning, shared this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.